I'd also like to thank Joan and Chris and Don and Jimmy, who soon after I first met him invited me to read haiku at a Christmas karaoke party in a Chinese restaurant downtown. And I'll tell that story sometime, but not tonight. I'm going to read some pieces that I haven't read here because of the up on the blog spot. You can go back and listen to past readings, and I went back and made sure that what I'd be reading tonight is different from what I've read in the past. I'm going to start out with three haiku, do two Middle Eastern ghazals, one free verse, and then three more haiku, and we'll call it a night. Haiku. This is a summer haiku. A tongue curling up to lick the universe. Red tiger lily. Over by Jason's house up on Penn Avenue, there's a job center. This poem happened there. Posting outside the job center. No idling. Oh, yeah. And this one. Forgotten how to open the cage that I built. First of the night. This is a Middle Eastern ghazal. I'm not going to go into a long explanation, except for to say that the various stanzas don't necessarily relate to each other. So if you miss one, it's okay. It's in the next one. This poem was originally titled Easing Back for J.L. and then became The Impossible Task. And finally, after I decided to make the dedication for the actual person. This is a poem for John Lennon, and it's entitled Breaking Out In. The edges of a circus poster ease away from old wood the way we ease in and out of life, tumbling, flying, fire breathing, all mystery, wonder, and peanut shells. Krishnamurti condemned meditation as an impossible task, ill-suited for the human animal. In goal-oriented psychology, a bar set too high leads inevitably to frustration and despair. As lilies of the field are the number of staples in a phone pole, events, readings, films, obscurities, they're all there, even the passé elephant parade. So there is a there after all. Take a moment now to consider the white moose, and yes, the white bison. Some say this is albinism, others a case of piebald genetics. In the tavern, the whispers never cease. There will always be the question of addiction and recovery. The mind is a funny thing, the body positively hilarious. Think of the runner, the philosopher, the workaholic, the prophet. Today's task, if you wish to accept it, is to watch the watcher up in the tower. Shall we concentrate intently, my friends, or shall we wave and look away? Might we break out now or in? This next poem is going to be published this summer in Gargoyle magazine. It's entitled On the Science of Approbation. It's kind of in your face, but you know, that's a good thing. On the science of approbation, the master gazes over my shoulder, smirking at these long, lean, anemic lines. Imitation and flattery are parallel lines, never really meeting, a tangled skein of moonlit waves and a warmish breeze. No one could imitate the story of Moses, certainly not Aaron. Many a brother has stood for his kin. Aaron was no exception. Moses drew water from stone. Aaron, truth from a sculpted calf. Bukowski knew for steam to rise, the pot needs to be stirred, and to call the poetry of others bullshit is a bullshit strategy. The ugly bastard had such a lovely smile and busy, busy hands. Angels thought of men as an approbation. Might not the opposite be true? Others mistook abomination for approbation. What of the Grail Quest of Babel's library? What of these singing stones? Last, we come to Melville, my comrades, tangled up in his own lines, skimming hard and fast, blasting from his blowhole, breaching, creating his own god, an approbation of the first magnitude. Dense is the mystery of borrowed rhythms and plagiarized texts. Stand up in the docket, Wentworth. Look the audience in the eye. Answers are bandied, questions abound, and lies prophesy lies. I don't know what this next poem is. I don't even know if it's done, if it's a poem. I've never read it anywhere else. I guarantee you I will not read it anywhere else after this. It is not going to be published anywhere. So it's a one-shot deal and you're in on it. The title is longer than three haiku put together. It's a bit of a seance if you care to join in. Trying to tune Philip Larkin in on the wireless for the news of the afterlife and tips on the dogs and ponies. This is for Scott and Bobby. Fiddling with the dial, the static crackles in waves. I curse myself for not replacing the scope antenna, which had snapped off in a light domestic fracas. The winds begin to fall and rise like iambic patter, in death grip competition with the audience silence. A little to the right of center waft strains of Al Boley, sweet, sweet Boley, all heart and dead from the start. Off to the left, Satie seems to be testing for a dead key. Spot on center is a sadness neither of silence nor sound. Hello, hello, Larkin, come in. Philip Larkin, we're in dire need of your acerbic tongue, arch wit, so loving charm, and weebly wobbly syntax, screeching, screaming, matricide, patricide, not necessarily in that order. Larkin, hello, come in, Larkin, hello, come in, come in. What say you? Over, 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 and out. Three haiku. Road sign in the cemetery. One way. ignoring my own advice, Kitty in a Box. And lastly, this is a failed haiku. What's known in the haiku business is a failed haiku. It doesn't work. More of an epigram with a sort of epigram attached to it, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, this is the last one. Crow waiting on the wire. Poetry is not a victimless crime. Thank you.